everybody here to have a teaching role in our body. Everybody freaked out now? Everybody, like, our introverts are panicking. Don't worry, teaching doesn't just mean like what I do standing up in front of people, but teaching the word has so much more to say. But the scriptures do show us and give this talent challenge that we all ought to be teaching one another the word. All of us, every single one of you has a role here in teaching one another the word of God. I hope you all went to seminary. I'm just kidding. It's not about seminary. If the call is for all of us to be teachers of God's word, then if you're holding a Bible right now, then you have a role within the church of teaching one another and being taught by one another. See, we are in our series called The One Another's. And it's the one another's because he first. We know that Jesus spent several years with the disciples, teaching them, walking with them, not just standing in front of them like a classroom, but walking with them and teaching them how to do life and how to respond to the Pharisees and how to respond to the culture and how to respond to the governing authorities and how to respond to sickness and illness. He spent those years teaching them, didn't he? Training them. And it wasn't in a classroom, and there weren't chairs, comfy chairs, faced forward to Jesus, but Jesus still taught. And we want to be a church that practices that same kind of teaching. Before we get into that, I've got a story for you. Anybody ever have just that moment in your life, or a moment, or several moments, where you just had a clear moment with God where he was speaking to you and he was wakening you up and telling you something important? It was almost like it was an audible voice. Have you ever had that happen? It doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes there's those clear and few moments, isn't there, brothers and sisters? I'll never forget, there was one time I was on the road and I was driving from Sheridan to Casper to meet with some family. I was by myself, had worship music blaring, and I wasn't worried about sounding bad. I was just worried about being as loud as I possibly could. I've seen you guys, some of you singing. You sing more intensely in your car or in the shower, don't you, than you do sometimes on Sunday. I just want to encourage you, don't worry about what others think. But I was singing like that, and I was worshiping, and I look over as I'm driving on the highway, and I see the mountains, and the sun is just peeking over the mountains. And we had a great sunset this morning, didn't we? Sorry, sunrise. Thanks for the correction. That's important. And I remember just seeing the glory of the Lord, and I just, with tears in my eyes as the truth of the songs was pouring into my soul, I had to pull over off the road and just weep at the glory and the immensity and the goodness of God. And I remember shouting to God, I was so excited, God, I cannot imagine feeling closer to you than I feel to you right now. And it was at this moment, I just remember an almost audible voice. Was it a booming voice? I don't know. It was a still small voice, but it was so present with me. And he came and he said, "You don't even know me from the role of being a father yet. I have so much to teach you through your kids." And I was like, wow. I wasn't a dad yet. And fast forward a few years, I don't know if I'm enjoying the lessons as much as I thought I was going to on that day. Because when I thought God was going to teach me, I thought he was going to give me these awesome revelations of him, and I was going to be excited, and it was going to feel good. And when I look at my kids, they teach me so much about how I treat God and how I rebel against God and how I'm good with him, and then my relationship with him goes up and down and all of the ebbs and flows of a relationship with God. But God used the most unlikely people in my life, my own kids, to teach me the most about him. Isn't it amazing how God can use the most unlikely people in our lives to teach us the most about him? Anybody here feel like an unlikely person? Here's what I want to challenge you as we look at God's word together. Romans 15, 14 says, "I myself," this is the Apostle Paul, "I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you have," so this is kind of a praise, "that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to what? To instruct one another. To instruct one another. Paul was most satisfied about a church when they were able to instruct one another. Like, well, I want to hire a really good teacher so we can have good instruction. How many of that is your first thought? Here, I want to challenge you today that just maybe God has a teaching role for you, and it may not always look like what you think. Colossians 3:16 says, let the, what? Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing. We're going to get to admonishing one another in a few weeks, but in admonishing one another in all wisdom. Hey, guys, we just did this. What does it say? Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We're teaching one another. Did you know when we get together to sing, you know we're teaching one another? Isn't that interesting? Teaching doesn't always look like what you think it is, but what it's centered on is we see the word of Christ dwelling in his people for one another. This is incredibly important as we think about where we want to be as a church. How many of you have ever heard something in a sermon or whatever, or you're reading in your Bible and you're like, I've never heard that before? You ever come to that? Some of you, maybe you grew up in church and you're reading the Bible, you're like, nobody's ever taught this before. You ever had that moment? And you kind of, you shake your fist a little bit, and you're like, why hasn't anybody told me about this? This is important. Well, see, here's the thing. If the Word of God is dwelling in all of us richly, and we are meeting not just on Sunday, but all of us are encountering God's Word, and it's dwelling in us richly, and that's what we get excited to talk about. It's not just our favorite movies, or our favorite heroes, or our favorite comic book characters, or our favorite video game, but instead we get together, and it's okay to talk about those things, but we're more excited because we've been indwelt by the Word of God. What happens to a people collectively if we begin to pour that rich Word of God out into one another in coffee sessions, in breakfast with one another, in lunch with one another, when we're sharing food at the bakery, when we have one another in our rooms? What if we are sharing the Word of God and what He is teaching? See, teaching, a lot of teaching, I think a lot of people think, well, I just don't know enough about the Bible. Have you ever said that? You ever thought that? I'm not qualified to teach. One of the most interesting comments about the disciples when they began their ministry was the Pharisees looked at them and said, what? These are uneducated men. Everybody do a fist pump, okay? These are uneducated men, meaning that education is not required in order to be a powerhouse for God's Word. It has only for us to be a people that sit at the feet of Jesus every day and learn from Him. And if you can do that, then you have something to offer every single person here. If you sit at the feet of Jesus with an open and willing heart, with the Bible open, ready to hear from God Himself, then teaching becomes really easy. You know why? Because the only thing that you have to share is the very thing that Jesus is teaching you. Many of you look to your Bibles and you're like, I need stuff for me. I want to know a new principle. I want new encouragement. I need to know that I'm okay. I need to know that Jesus still loves me. And we engage the Word of God for ourselves, and we forget that just maybe the truth that God is giving you is not just supposed to stay with you. Maybe He's giving you a truth in His Word every day to share with somebody else. Brothers and sisters, I ask this question a lot in church and in around circles. Is what is God teaching you right now? You want to know the number one response I get? I bet you can guess it. Patience. I heard it. What's God teaching you right now? Patience. Well, that's great. Where did you get that in the Word? It's okay that God is teaching you patience, but what in that patience is God teaching you? And the only way that you're going to receive that teaching is if you're sitting at the feet of Jesus and the Word of God is richly dwelling within you. And so don't just tell me patience, brothers and sisters. I know that it feels like you just have to endure, but God doesn't want you just to endure. He wants you to thrive. And to thrive, sometimes that means engaging in the Word of God, even if you don't like reading. You know what? You can get the Bible, and you can get it in such a way that you can listen to it read to you. You can go on walks and read and hear the Word of God. You could, if you struggle with reading, sit down with somebody who can and say, hey, would you read this with me? But when the Word of God then richly dwells in us, and then we turn around and we say, I cannot wait to tell everybody what I just learned about my Father. Can you see how church would be different? If everybody, if every one of you had sat at the feet of Jesus this last week and he blew your mind with some amazing truth and you came here, it would be like, have you ever noticed parents when they're really excited to tell people about having kids for the first time? And they're just super excited to share. They want to share in some kind of fancy fashion. They want to surprise everybody like, hey, we're pregnant. And everybody goes, ah! And they sometimes, depending on the person, they either just kind of blurt it out and everybody freaks out, or they plan this elaborate way to share the big news. What if we, by sitting at the feet of Jesus, plan every day, I cannot wait to share with my brothers and sisters what God just showed me. Because brothers and sisters, there's this principle that we get to know God better through one another. When we sit at the feet of Jesus and learn, we are qualified then to be teachers. I've heard it put this way, that we are a lot like one beggar telling others where to find food. Have you ever heard that? I think that's glorious. We're one beggar trying to tell other beggars where to find food. This is a very interesting, important thing for us then. The reason why many of us aren't teachers is because we're not sitting at the feet and learning. I'm not saying going to seminary, but because we're not opening our Bibles and encountering the Word of God. And here's a staunch warning from God's Word in Hosea. We don't want to repeat the mistakes of Israel, but it says Hosea 4:6, my people are what? Destroyed from a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. He's saying this to Israel, right? Well, we know from Peter, when you become a believer, one of the things, titles that you take on, when you say, I am now a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus, he places on you the title of priest. Because we're a nation of priests, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. We're a people of priests. If that title is taking it away from us, it's because of what? The lack of knowledge, isn't it? The lack of knowledge. We have a lot of Christians that are saying a lot of things right now. And I would argue to say that the majority of which does not come from the richly indwelt knowledge of God and from His Word. We have a lot to say. We have a lot of opinions. And we're trying to teach people how to be more like us instead of saying we want people in this world to hear the booming voice of our Lord and our Savior Jesus, not mine, His. Because I must decrease, He must increase. I know the voice of my God. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Brothers and sisters, I think as I look across the lay of the land and why there is such a misrepresentation about who Christians are, every time I go and I think, man, I'm going to defend Christians, whether it be online or in an argument or in a conversation, then I look and I see some other Christian posting something that's never been in Scripture, is not a scriptural position. If you are going to teach opinion with such certainty, when it's not in the Bible, and then it's proved wrong, what does that do to your credibility? It ruins it, doesn't it? Christians, we have to be very careful where we plant our flags. We have to be careful what battles we are going to take on. Because if we're going to argue and walk into a battlefield in our own power, with our own wisdom, with our own knowledge, I can guarantee you that we're going to be destroyed. Brothers and sisters, I want to beg you today to be in the Word so that you can share the Word clearly. So that you can identify the truth. And when somebody, a Christian, speaks an untruth, you can correct them in love. You can say, that's not what Jesus said. And I love you because I want us as a group to stand on the Word of God and the Word of God alone. So, why should we all be teachers? Number one, because you have a unique relationship with God. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I am the only me. Okay, there's this beautiful principle in Scripture. I know that was weird. What's Pastor doing, okay? Beautiful passage in Scripture that says he has made us in the image of God, but he's made us all uniquely, meaning that I'm the only Shane. Can we get an amen that there's only one? And thank you, Josh. I'm going to remember that in youth group, okay? But there's this idea that you have a unique relationship and gifting with God. That's why it's important that you share your experience. What is God teaching you? Because he might give you a revelation. He might speak to you through his word in a way that we don't see, that we miss. There's this beautiful thing that I read one time. This idea that it would be very, very cool to read the Bible with a bunch of people who are not from our nation, who speak different languages. If we could all sit down and navigate through the differences in our cultures and our languages, and if we all sat down humbly before the Word of God and we read it together, we would pick up things that we would miss normally on our own. Have you ever done this when you read the Bible out loud? This is why Paul gives Timothy the encouragement, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. How many times have you just sat down as a bunch of Christians and instead of saying, what does this mean to you? We instead sat down and we just read the Word of God out loud in all its power, in all of its grace, in all of its beauty. How many Bible studies have you been where you just read the Word of God out loud? What if we did that? Paul's encouragement to Timothy, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. But Pastor, I like my alone time, my private time. You should have that too. Here's a quote from C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite authors. He said, by myself, I am not large enough to call out the whole man into activity. He's talking about the loss of his good friend. If you know C.S. Lewis, he wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, and one of his good buddies was Tolkien. Anybody Lord of the Rings fans? Okay. You're my people. I'm looking for you. I love you. You're my people, okay? But then they had a third guy, and his name was Charles Williams, and the three of them, they had a name for themselves. It was the Inklings. You know you're good buddies if you have a club name. By the way, if you're wondering, the pastors in town, we're going to release a poster, and we have a November 17th worship together time. You know what the label that we've taken on? It's the one tuckables, because there's only one of us that actually tucks his shirt in. So you'll see that's coming out here pretty soon, right? And we love that one. We're not going to tell you who. But the idea that they loved each other, and here's what C.S. Lewis says. By myself, I am not large enough to call out the whole man into activity. I want other lights than my own to show all of his facets. Lewis illustrated this by describing the recent death of his friend Charles Williams. He not only mourned the loss of Williams, he also missed what Williams brought out in others, such as the way that J.R. Tolkien laughed at Williams' jokes. And so the day that Charles Williams died, he said, a little bit of Tolkien died as well. Brothers and sisters, what if we had that kind of relationship with one another when it comes to encountering God? What if, I want to sit down in Norma's Bible study and hear some of the amazing things that Norma, or Regina, I want to sit down and hear some of the things that God is teaching Regina, man, and the things that she's seeing. I want to see what's going on because, man, I know that they have a perspective that I don't always have. My brother Ron, when he gives me a report about the Gideons, I get excited because he has a passion for the world. that sometimes slips my consciousness. There is only one you. So the greatest gift that you have to give to others is a thriving relationship with Jesus. It's not Christmas presents. It's not always feeding them. It's not always the greatest gift that you can give the people in your life is to have a thriving relationship with God and press into that. That's the greatest gift that you can give the people in your life. This is also known as the abiding principle. When God's people abide in Him, they produce this stuff that the Bible calls fruit. When you abide in Jesus, you produce fruit. This is out of John 15, 5. So if you want to teach, sit at the feet of Jesus, and you will be a better teacher in every role of your life. We're talking about dads. Dads can be teachers. Have you seen junior high boys? Guys, they need a lot of help. I'm looking at you, Josh. I'm just kidding. You're right. So, dads, moms, bosses, grandparents, neighbors, whatever, clients. Netizen is a new term. If you want to be a netizen and actually offer the truth of God and not just an opinion, then you need to sit at the feet of Jesus and really press into that uniqueness of your relationship with Him. What is He showing you in the Word? And then submit it to others. 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 15 says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of what? Many." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Hey, you're the many." "If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body." Right? He's using this as an example. If you're here and you're like, "Man, I just don't like to talk. I like to come to church and leave without anybody noticing me," you're at the wrong church. Second of all, we really value what God is doing in you at every stage of your relationship with God. Have you ever been around new Christians? It's so fun to be around new Christians. Why? Because they have such fervor for the gospel. Their life has been changed. Do you remember when you were like that? Do you sometimes need a lesson to remember what fervor looks like? At every stage of our walk with God is important. And you can't say that you're not important according to this passage. You can't say that you don't need me. We do need you. Because you have a unique relationship and walk with God. 1 Corinthians continues in verse 18. "But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose." That's all of us, isn't it? That's all of us. So number two, why should we all become teachers of one another? Teaching grows and it protects. It grows and protects. So as we said before, we're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It grows us because we need to be filled with knowledge. You and I, we pick up human knowledge very quickly, don't we? I'm watching my one-year-old go from the most cutest little being on the face of the planet. If you've ever seen her, she just melts your heart. But she's developing this thing called a will. And she can shriek. And it damages my eardrums. I didn't teach her to do that. She did that on her own. I'm like, how could something so cute sound so awful? We're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We need to be people sitting at the feet because it grows us deeper in God's Word. When we are accountable to teaching, it means that we have to look and we have to say, "Oh my goodness, I want something to give the saints when I meet with them." So often I'll sometimes sit in a conversation with a bunch of men and I'll ask, "Man, what is God teaching?" And it kind of breaks my heart a little bit sometimes when there's just no answer. And man, I love you. I love you. Get in God's Word. Write something down that God's revealing to you, because I want to sit at the feet of us as a congregation, at the feet of Jesus in and through you, so that we can all learn together. I, as your pastor, have things to learn from you. I hope you know that. Our elders have something to learn from one another. Elders have something to learn from the newest member. We need to be growing deeper. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Number two, It holds us accountable to study. When we take on that responsibility that we ought to be teachers, it says Hebrews 5, 12 through 13, for though by this time you ought, translation, you should be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need not milk, but solid food. What if we were a people that were teachers and that pressed us into this accountability of knowing God's word? I got to tell you, a part of why in my life I'm so grateful that God put me in accountable roles to teach often and frequently every week is because every week I'm accountable to sitting at the feet of Jesus. If I don't, I have to come here and stand before all of you and I have to give you something that God has given me. And if I haven't with open hands stood, it's such an accountability. It's kind of selfish. It pushes me deeper and deeper and deeper into the word. But what if all of us were held to that same kind of accountability? That you never showed up to church empty worded. Does that make sense? Empty worded. So it holds us accountable to study because apparently one of the in the book of Hebrews, the expectation is that by this time we ought to be teachers. Ought to be teachers. It holds us accountable. If the only time you encounter the word is when someone else is teaching, then you have are at a place of weakness. You are susceptible, what I'll call to all of our hunters in the last month, you're easy prey. You're easy prey for the roaring lion who's seeking those whom he will devour. Have you heard that in Scripture? Who's that? That's Satan. That's the enemy. And so we all ought to be teachers in such a way that it would cause us to be skilled in the word of righteousness. Skilled in the righteousness. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the what? Word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment. What is this word? Trained by constant couch sitting. No, by constant practice to distinguish good and evil, right? So there's the sense, brothers and sisters, as your pastor, I love you. You need to be training. You ever miss the gym for an extended period of time? I am just now trying to get back to the gym. And if you see me, just pray for me in the gym. If I look defeated, it's because I am. My muscles disappeared many years ago, and so I'm trying to revive the dead. And so when I go to the gym, I got my constant practice. And if I go one day a week and then I just forget about it and I don't go back, it's so hard then to pick the same amount of weights up and to make any progress. Brothers and sisters, if you only hear the word of God by sitting in on a Sunday or hearing a good Bible study once a week, you're never going to be growing. My heart for you as your pastor is that all of us would be growing in such a way that we could be giving. That we could be giving. It takes constant practice. Pick the Bible up. Read. Maybe it's just for you to start with one or two verses. But if we don't, that makes us easy prey for deceit, for the roaring lion who is the father of lies. It's no wonder to me then that Christians are so deceived today. They don't know their shouting voice because they don't train themselves to hear it by sitting under the word of God. Worse yet, with confidence, teach via living a falsity about God. You are what the Bible calls a false teacher. So if you don't know the Bible, you're weak. But if you don't know the Bible and you step up and you start trying to teach people and mentor people and lift people up, you actually, according to the Bible, do damage. It calls you a false teacher. How many Christians have stood up with great confidence and said things? Brothers and sisters, that's why I often say, if I ever say anything that is not in Scripture, it's not about my pride. If I say something wrong, I stand to account before Jesus. Based in Scripture, please come and talk to me about it. By the way, the Word actually talks, you ever heard, don't take the Lord's name in vain? Don't take the Lord. actually just mean using God's word name as a curse word. Do you know what it also means? And you're representing him in a way that is taking his name in vain. So if we as Christians stand up and say, I'm a Christian, then we need to be speaking the truth. We have time to go through all this, but could we be Christians, if we're not sitting at the feet of Jesus, we're in immense danger of being false teachers, not just weak, but leading others astray. 2 Peter 2:1 talks about false teachers and the repercussions for being a false teacher. 1 John 4:1 talks about Christians, we need to be people who test the spirits. How do you test the spirits? You know the word, and you hold it up to what's called the canon. If you've heard the word canon, canon just means the measuring rod of truth. You hold it up to the Bible, and you say, is this true? And you compare, and if it's not true, then it's not true. So test the spirit. 2 Timothy 4, 3-4 says that our propensity, brothers and sisters, I need you to hear this. Our propensity is not to run to good teaching and true teaching. It's that we're going to love false teaching, because we want our ears itched. And so we look for our teachers that are going to tell us what we want to hear. How many of you love to hear what you want to hear? We should be a little bit more terrified to hear what we want to hear. We should want to hear what the Word of God has to say. So could we be false teachers? Number three, I'm going to speed us up. Number three. Teaching is the only way people will know. The verse here, how then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without somebody preaching? I can't tell you how many times I've heard Christians say, I can't believe they live the way they do. In your life, how to live the way that you do in light of God's word? And usually it's like, well, yeah, I went to church, or I had a mentor, or I had a father or a mother. And we wonder why people don't know how to live for Christ. It's because a lot of times the older generation just walked away and expected the younger generations to just know how to live. Have you ever walked up to somebody who doesn't know how to drive a standard, throw them in the car and say, good luck? You don't just do that. The younger generations, brothers and sisters, aren't just going to magically understand how to live for Christ and how to do church and how to live with one another. And so I was just thinking, we had a neighbor kid over for dinner, and I just remember she was sitting quiet, and we were like, what's going on? And she looked at us and she said, I don't know how to be a part of a family. I said, today you get to learn. Teach. Today you get to learn. Brothers and sisters, that's the privilege of teaching one another. Sit at my table. We get to do that. What a privilege. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. That's every one of us can, at some level, teach the gospel to one another and continue to leverage the gospel in one another. Read the Bible. I can't tell you, I grew up in a home that I knew my mom read the Bible, my college. Because nobody sat down and showed me how to read the Bible. What if we as adults with our Bibles open said, here's how you read the Bible. Here's how, and hearing through the Word of God, it means that we have to have people willing to open their mouths up and to show us how to encounter God in His Word. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This idea that we have a fatherless generation that hasn't sat with, and by the way, the Bible, we have a flock around us. Men, we should be pouring and teaching others. Because we've been in the Word so much, we can't help but teach others. You ever have that teachable moment with somebody where you pull somebody aside? For me, it's always with my sons. I typically, we're watching a Disney movie, and I'll pause the Disney movie and I'll say, what about this was false? What about this was true? And my kids roll their eyes. Dad, we just want to watch the movie. No, this is a teachable moment. You know, what if we had dads? And if you don't have a dad in here, let me point you to several adoptable dads that need a family to shepherd. And there's many men in here that would be a great shepherd to those. And then also, it continues on. Women should be shepherding. And there's this idea then in scriptures that we teach one another. Dads are the teaching pastors of their families. Grandpas are the teaching pastors. If you don't have a dad or a father figure to stand in your corner, there are plenty around. Ask them. And I'll tell you, I even want my kids to sit at the feet of some of you. And I had a breakfast with some men the other day, and I took my youngest daughter, my one-year-old, and it was such a privilege for me to watch Bob. And I use Bob as an example a lot, but Bob just, he cut up Juby's food and he fed it to her like a little grandpa. And now whenever he sees her, she just kind of like smiles at him because she knows, like, there's my grandpa. He taught me how to cut up my breakfast. I love that. Thank you, Bob Vinton. Titus 2, women should train the younger. Older men urge the younger to have self-control. But there's this idea, then you see, older women, you should have somebody that you're trying to teach what God is teaching you. No matter where you are in that age range, if you're a junior high girl, you need to find a grade school girl that you're teaching what God is teaching you. If you're a college age, find somebody in high school. If you are retired, find somebody in their middle part of their life, because they need some coaching. They need some teaching. That we do this investment, that's that Titus 2 model. And if there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home. This passage, much taken out of context, but the purpose of this was that there would be teaching in the home, that there would be the structure of teaching in the home. It wasn't so that women would just be quiet. It was so that wives could be encouraged by their husbands being teachers, and that could be this relationship of teaching in the home. Teaching in the home. This isn't just homeschooling, and it's not just public schooling. Either role you're in, there can be teaching in the home and should be teaching in the home. Amen? Number 4, teaching forces us to reflect. James 2:18 says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works. James here says, and I will show you my faith by my works. And this idea that when we teach, I tell you guys, it's a very humbling thing to teach through the scriptures on Sundays. And my wife will tell you, she wants to know the topic beforehand of what I'm going to be talking about each week, because God puts us through it the week before. He's like, okay, you're going to learn about this topic before you teach on it. And so prayerfully, it's just, that's the relationship with teaching, is when he teaches you, it calls you to this reflection. Brothers and sisters, we need to reflect on how our lives are matching with the Bible. How many of you sit and think about, how am I obeying the Bible and where am I stepping outside of the counsel and coaching of God? How many of you hold up? I always loved premarital counseling because of this. We would do premarital counseling about once a year with a young couple about ready to get married. And the premarital taking it through, because it turned out to be more beneficial for me and Becky than it did for the couple that... But it was so good to be reminded of how you live. We need to correct our errors in thinking, practice, but also indeed, how am I living? Is my life matching what the Word of God is saying to me? And if not, I need to adjust, right? It's not the Word of God to teach, you must reflect. I need to change. Because I submit, takes much more faith than just stating you believe it, doesn't it? Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. This is Paul's word to Titus. And in your teaching, show integrity. What does integrity mean? That you do your best not to be a hypocrite, right? Teaching that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. It's important, Christians, that we are integral or have integrity when it comes to God's word. And again, if we speak on something that's an opinion and it's not God's word, we've given the world an opportunity to what? Put us to shame, huh? Put us to shame. This season it comes from brothers and sisters to watch what you say and make sure that it comes and or be wrong. What if we let our yes be yes and our no be no? That sounds like it was in Scripture, right? Number 5, teaching keeps us sharp. Teaching keeps us sharp. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from its sight, but all are naked. This implies of him to whom we must give an account. Why is this? We let the word of God kind of carve our life and mold our life in such a way that we're ready, we're prepared. 2 Timothy talks about the word of God is good for training. Again, that word training in righteousness. It's good for teaching, for reproof and correction. We should be correcting one another. We should be teaching one another. 1 Timothy 4:8, Paul continues, "For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." So that's why don't just go to the gym to get muscles, but take your mind to the scriptures to get sharp and to be prepared. May teach others. "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us," there it is again, "to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions." Ask me, how do I live as a Christian in this incredibly secular world today? I'm not going to start giving them a list of things to do. I'm going to say, have you read your Bible? And the only way that you're going to know and renounce ungodliness. So, passions is to know your Bible, to know the Word of God. Give it away, everything that Jesus gives to you. It's really simple application, but brothers and sisters, it means that we have to do the work. And hopefully as we do this, God will teach one another in unexpected places, and no longer will we hear people say, "I've never heard that before." Because we'll be a people that know the book and live by the book and teach the book. Amen? All right. I'm going to pray for us, and I want to send you out to go dwell richly in the Word of God. Brothers, I'm just going to pray for you. Lord Jesus, I pray for every person here, whether they know you or don't know you. God, I pray for the believer that he and she would have a hunger for your Word in such a way that it would spill out of them. Would you renew our vigor for reading and knowing your Word, God? And God, I pray that teaching one another would be the thing that invigorates us to pour out what God is teaching us into one another, to share it freely because you gave it to us. And if there is somebody here who doesn't know you, God, I pray that they would encounter you in your word for the first time this week. Because it says that your word is the power for salvation. God, I pray that they would come to faith because of the power of your word. God, we pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I want to send you out. In the power and presence of Jesus, go get into your Bibles and share what he's teaching you. Have a wonderful Sunday.